Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. I'm going to teach today, and we're going to continue our series. We're doing a series on the revelation of sonship, on the revelation of sonship. Have you been enjoying it? Yeah. Hallelujah. For our visitors, we have a podcast. This is the third part. You guys can go into our podcast, and you kind of catch up and kind of see what we've been saying. But at Omni Abba Church, we are a church that reveals the truest intentions of God as a father. All right. We let you know why Jesus came. He didn't come just so we can go to heaven. The Father wanted children here on earth that operate and function in power, in wisdom, in glory, in honor, in blessings. He wants his family to dominate this place. It's too much darkness. We need light in communities. Come on. We need light in our households. Jesus died on the cross. Let me go into my rant before I start, okay? I'm just going to go into a little rant. We don't understand the process of Jesus coming to the earth. By the time Jesus arrived to the planet, by the time he came to earth, he was a prophecy fulfilled. So in the Old Testament, he was a prophecy to come. In the New Testament, or before the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's a prophecy fulfilled. They said that Emmanuel will come and he will be with us. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see him with us. But watch this. After the cross is ministry. Okay? After the cross is the ministry of sonship. Okay? After the cross, Jesus becomes, or we become through Jesus, a ministry of being kingmakers. He said he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. So Jesus is a Lord maker. All right. Sonship is and lordship are one and the same because it's us conforming to his image. So we have Jesus in the Old Testament, Yeshua, who was in time and space. He was in eternity. Then we have him born as a prophecy fulfilled. This is why he didn't call 12 prophets. He didn't call 12 prophets because the prophecy had been fulfilled. Now it was the apostolic, which means the message needs to go forth. This is what we do here. We know he died on the cross, but the why is what we're having issue with. He died on the cross because the Father said, I predestined all of us to conform to the image of his Son. So that is our job. That is our day-to-day business, is to conform to the image of the Son. Okay? And so we're talking about the revelation of sonship. And like I said, this is the confusion. The confusion is, after Jesus has died on the cross, the blood has been shed, he has resurrected, now the ministry is sonship. Okay, it's the relationship now. It's us understanding the kingdom so we can become the church and we can do ministry in the name of Jesus. But we need the relationship first. We need to understand who he is to us as a father. This is where the world is lost. This is why Jesus said, I would not leave you orphans. I'll come to you. What does an orphan, what is the definition of an orphan? Someone who is fatherless. In the Old Testament, they were fatherless. They didn't have a father. They had a God. So he had to put them under the law. But in the New Testament, we're under grace because there's an expectation for us to grow, and he has to give us time. He has to be patient with us. Okay, but we have to get past religion. Church is not hell insurance. Okay, it's not hell insurance. Church is not where you come to get your blessings. That's not what this is. Your blessings come to you as you mature. He's a father. Come on. He's a father. He said, blessed is the poor in spirit. When you realize that you are a child and you don't know, and then you begin to seek your father and say, Abba, Father, what is it I should be doing? Then you begin to mature and the blessings just come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, everything else, Malik, it comes. It just runs to you. It just comes to you. You ain't got to go hustle. You ain't got to go chase it. You ain't got to go get it. It just comes to you. But we have to understand his perspective. He's looking down from heaven, and all he wants to see is, are you maturing? So we're going to talk about this. Y'all ready? So we're talking about the revelation of sonship, and this is part three. Now, when we talk about revelation, we're talking about the disclosure of truth, okay? The disclosure of truth from the spirit realm to the earth realm, from the spirit realm to the natural realm, so that we can participate in his program. If we don't have a revelation, which means the veil has been pulled back, so we can now see what his plan is, we can't participate. We become ignorant. We lack understanding. And this is where we are because we're just trying to go to heaven. We're worried about what's going to happen when we die. Imagine you had a company and you hired employees, Serena, and all they can wait for is to get off work. Not much work is getting done because their focus is not on building the company. It's not on building your business. It's on, we can't wait to get off and go home. This is what's going on in the church, in the spirit. We got 50 churches. By the time y'all got here, you passed 100 churches. Everybody can't wait to clock out. We just can't wait to die. No. We're supposed to live here. Life is here. Power is no good when you die. Revelation is no good when you get to heaven. His wisdom is only good in earth. You can't dominate anything once you're dead. The dominion happens now. So revelation is the disclosure of truth from the spirit realm to the earth realm so we can participate with the Father. It's us receiving divine instructions. It's us understanding that revelation has an eternal context. You have eternity where our Father lives, where eternal life is, where Yeshua came from. Then you have time and space, where we live in. God doesn't live in time and space. He lives in eternity. This is why he says to have a spiritual mind. You know that's what a spiritual mind is? It's to be an eternal thinker. We're not just worry about today. Jesus said, don't worry about today. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, today has enough issues. Seek first the kingdom of God, which is eternal. It's never ending. So revelation has an eternal context. When we understand things in a revelatory manner, we understand our origin is from God. We are divine beings. We begin to understand his precepts, his mind before he opened his mouth. What was he thinking before he said, let there be light? There had to be a plan. Come on, we wake up with a plan. He didn't just do this in oblivion. There was a plan. Then we understand his storyline, the why behind everything. Did you create us just to come to heaven? Did you create us so you can play with our life and sin? Well, I'm just watching you to make sure to see if you're going to sin. And if you don't sin, I'm going to let you come with me one day. That is stupid. That is not a brilliant plan. I could have came up with that. Okay? And think about it. He's a father. What father does that? He's not playing games with our soul. He's not releasing darkness into the earth and allowing it to swallow us up and say, well, you didn't make it. And the other part of the eternal context is that revelation is bottomless. It never ends. It's never ending. We think that the revelation of Jesus Christ is that he's the Son of God. That's not the revelation. The Bible says that. He said he's the Son of God. That's not a revelation. Okay? The revelation is that he's a kingmaker. Okay? You have to understand that Yeshua means God saves. Okay? It means God saves. Now, I might butcher this next part. Hamashiach means Messiah. So when you put that together, it means God saved, watch this, the anointed ones. So Jesus came as the Messiah, as the anointed one to bring us to the Father. He came to save the anointed ones because Adam failed. Adam lost the kingdom. So Jesus came to restore the kingdom back right now to the children so we can rule and reign in this life in Christ. So the revelation is deeper than, is Jesus God? Yes, he's God. Is Jesus the Son of God? Absolutely he is. But his whole purpose of coming, Zay, is to make us gods. That's why you are born again. And he said when you're born again, you can now see the kingdom. But the kingdom is in eternity. The kingdom exists in spiritual form. He's saying, I'm opening your eyes to my world when you're born again. Why would you do that? So that you can walk in the spirit. So that you can live in the spirit. So the life that we're supposed to live, the Bible says that we are dead if we're born again. You are dead to your natural life, and your life is now hidden in Christ. So the other part of Revelation that we begin to understand, well, let me finish this. So Revelation is bottomless. Once you understand anything about the Father, it's a never-ending thought process. The only way Revelation stops is when you outthink God. If you can outthink the Father, then that's when Revelation stops, which means you'll never. Then Revelation reveals to us the insight into the Father. He just wants children. Then it reveals the insight into Christ, why he came. The Bible said, he said, I came to bring many sons to glory. I came to reconcile. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. This is the ministry of reconciliation. Leave here today and go tell somebody, your Father wants you. He wants to father you. The reason why nothing's working, because you're not allowing him to father you. You have not given him your life so that he can give you the life that really belongs to you. Jesus says you're going to have to lose a life. He says when you lose your natural, you gain the spiritual. The new birth. Born from above. Born of God. So Revelation gives us the insight into the Father's heart. I want children. Into the Son's heart, I want brothers. The Bible said, he who sanctifies Jesus and those that are sanctified us have one Father. So he's not ashamed to call us brothers. So he sees you and says, you are my brother. You're my sister. I died so you could have a conversation with Abba. I died so you can hear from heaven. The other thing is Revelation reveals hidden things because it's a new life. This is why he speaks in parables. This is why he speaks in secrets and in mysteries. He wants you to indulge in it. He wants you to study to show yourself approved. You can't get to know him in the natural. You can only get to know him in the spirit. So he's trying to reveal the things that are hidden. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that as a father, he hides things from us. He says, as kings, it's a pleasure for us to search him. Watch this. It's a pleasure for him to hide it. For us, it's a pleasure for us to search it out. He's not going to just give it to you. He wants you to want it. Jesus said, ask. Come on. He said, seek. Come on. He said, knock. He said, when you ask, you will receive. Come on. He said, when you seek, you will find. And when you knock, the door going to go open. It's going to open for you. These are all spiritual equations that link you to wanting the Father. I'm asking, Abba. I'm asking, show me. What we're doing in the school of prayer, you know how we got that? I asked. Father, teach me how to pray. That's what the disciples asked Jesus. Teach me how to pray. Then the fourth thing is Revelation reveals our identity. It reveals who we are, not in earth, but by the Spirit. You don't know who you are till you know who you are spiritually. You don't know. So you ask. He said, in regards to the Holy Spirit, he said, you being evil parents, come on. He said, if your child asked you for fish, you wouldn't give him a serpent. He said, if they ask you for bread, you're not going to give them a stone. He said, how much more will your Father not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask. Come on, right, and ask. You ain't got to ask out loud. Just within yourself, ask. Father, baptize me in your Spirit. Father, I want more of your Spirit. You ain't got to say it out loud. He just wants you to ask. Ask him. Come on, ask. Just ask him. I want more of you. Show me who I am. He just wants you to ask. He said he would never, if you ask him for the Holy Spirit, he said he would never would keep that from you. He would never not give it to you. He, matter of fact, it only exists for you. It only exists for you. There's no need for the Holy Spirit to be on earth unless it's for his children. This is where we get off at. We don't understand the scriptures in the context of sonship. We don't understand the scriptures in the context of God as our Father. We only understand it as him being God, who is sovereign, and he can do what he want to do. We only understand it in the context of heaven and hell. I don't want to go to hell. I just want to go to heaven. We don't understand it in the context of being children. So sonship, which is the revelation, what we're given a revelation of, sonship is the ultimate expression of the relationship from the Father to the children and the children to the Father. The last scripture in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, it says that I have to return the heart of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers unless I have to smite the land with a curse. Earth is no good without sons. Earth is no good without his children. This was the original plan. Create Adam in his image after his likeness. Tell him to rule and to dominate. Once he said that, he couldn't go back, so he had to send a redeemer to continue his plan. He wants children who want him, who want power, who want revelation, who want to walk in his riches, who want to reveal his glory, who want to walk in his name. He wants children. Now, the question is, do we want a father? Or do we want a blessing? Or do we want a door open for money? Or do we want wealth? Or do we want a new car, a big house? He said, that belongs to you. The only reason why it exists is for you. All this is yours. The Bible says all this belongs to you. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do it my way, son. Do it my way, daughter. And he said, everything else will be added. The scripture says all things belong to us. All things belong to us. Money belongs to us. Every currency, Bitcoin, land belongs to us. It belongs to us. But we have to first want to be children. And we have to want to mature to receive it. So sonship is the ultimate expression of relation of the relationship from the Father to his children and the children to the Father. So four things that bring life to the revelation of sonship. The first thing is familial language, which is family language of the New Testament. So in over 1,600 verses, there are over 1,600 verses and over 1,700 words that are associated with family in the New Testament. Sons, daughters, brethren, children, child. Born again, family, household, adoption. Over 1,600 verses. Over 1,700 words. Come on, is that not a conversation? If we're having a conversation, I keep talking about this. You know that's, this is the direction I'm trying to take you. It's more stuff about sonship than it is about the devil. Come on. Why we know more about the devil than we know about sonship? It tells you who's lead. Okay, the next one is lordship. Lordship and sonship are one and the same. Why? Because we are conforming to the image of a son. Jesus is our Lord because we are conforming to him. Who is he? The Son of God. He's the picture and the image of the Son of God that we conform to. He said, learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly of heart. He said, learn of me. I only do what the Father tell me to do. Learn of me. I only say what the Father wants me to say. Learn of me. He said, I don't judge nothing until I first hear from the Father. Learn. Learn of me. Don't become a paparazzi. Don't become a Jesus cheerleader. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But are you conforming? It don't matter how much you love him. He said, if you love me, the proof is you keep my commandments, which means every word that came out of my mouth. The next one is growth metrics. Now, the only way we know we're growing is through sonship. This is the only way we know we're growing. It's that we are born again, come on, and then we mature. Just like, that's why we have it like this in the natural. It's the reason why you were born as a baby, and now I'm looking at a grown man. It's the reason why. So when you read the scriptures, you can understand what growth means. He said you are to grow from glory to glory. I got some stuff for you. He said you are to mature. Then the last one is the last thing that brings life to the revelation of sonship is understanding biblical languages and how they function. Okay? There's transliterations. There's translations. You have exegesis and eisegesis. But the thing we're going to talk about on today, and in part one and two, I went through those. So, gentlemen, go back and, you know, and check those out. But the thing I want you to understand is the social context of biblical language. So the Bible said that Jesus, that the Father sent the Son in the fullness of time, which means that everything that was going on around that time, he didn't send them during the Babylonian reign. He sent them through the Roman, when the Romans were ruling. All of that matters. He didn't send them at a time where the New Testament would be written in Hebrew. He didn't want it written in Hebrew. He didn't want it translated from Hebrew, because if we translate the Bible from Hebrew through the New Testament, we don't get the appropriation of sonship. Give me my five stages of sonship. So you have to understand the social context. These are Greek words. Brethos is a newborn. I'll go over this again. Nepios is an infant. Pateon is a child. Technon is a teenager. Nanniskos is a young adult. And Weos is a mature son and daughter. Now, when you read the Bible, you're going to see son, you're going to see sons, you're going to see children, you're going to see child. You're going to see young men. And if you investigate it properly and you do your studying, it'll be one of these five words. Six words. Well, actually, it's actually eight. But I'm not giving you, you know, all of them for various reasons. But if you study the scriptures and you don't just read past it, so the scriptures will say that as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You need to study and find out what is that Greek word. It's weos. So he's letting us know that as many as are led by the Spirit, these are my mature sons and daughters. So you have to study those things, because this all happens in social context. This deals with how the Greeks spoke to one another. In English, when we talk to one another, I say, Tanisha, how old is your child or your children? And you, I have to ask you their age. I have to ask you the age. Okay, this is how we talk in America. How many children you have? Three. That does not tell me their ages. That does not tell me their maturity level. But when in Greek, when they talk and you ask somebody how many children they have, they'll let you know. I have a nepios, I have a pation, and I have a technon. They ask him, they say, who's the greatest in the kingdom? The Bible said he pulled a child up and said, the greatest in the kingdom is those who become like a child. That's the word pation. He didn't say a weos. So you don't have to wait till you fully mature to be great. You just have to know and understand your Father's kingdom. Amen? So there's a thing called exegesis. Now, exegesis involves studying the Bible in its historical, cultural, and literal context to understand the author's intent. While eisegesis occurs when a reader imposes their own ideas, beliefs, and personal experiences on the scripture. So we use John 1 and 12 last week, in which the Bible says, as many as believe on him, he gave the right or the power to become children of God. That word children is technon. So which means he did not give you the power, Serena, to become an infant. He didn't give you the power to be born again. He didn't give you the power to just become a pation. He said, I need you to mature past brethos, past nepios, past pation, and I need you to be right here. I need you to come to a teenager, which is a stage in which you are learned. It's a stage in which you know who your father is. You understand his kingdom. And you desire to walk in the things that he called you to walk in. You don't want that when you're an infant. Watch this. You just want what you want. Look at little JoJo. JoJo is not worried about the rent. He's not worried about where the rent coming from. He's not worried. Look, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. He said, don't worry about what you're going to drink. He said, don't worry about that. He said, those things plague the mind of unbelievers. He said, your father feeds the birds. Aren't you much more than them? He's trying to get your mind to understand. JoJo, don't ask, mama, could you please feed me? Could you please? He don't care. I'm hungry. Eat. That's it. And she knows it's her responsibility to feed. You don't think God, come on. You don't think he knows? He knows. But you have to be a child, which means you have to have an expectation. Children have an expectation without understanding. I don't even understand why I need some shoes. You got children? Oh, boy, you going to see. My daughter, I need shoes. For what? Volleyball. I need shoes for what? Track. I need shoes for what? Just because I want them. And there's an expectation on me. I can go get a job. No. I have to provide. Paul said, my God, come on, will supply all your needs, come on, according to his riches. JoJo eating on your riches. No prayer life. We have to get to that place. This is what sonship is about. This is the exegesis and eisegesis of sonship. It is you understanding who your father is. How is it I put more responsibility on myself as a parent than I do on faith? Come on, you expect you're going to come through for Malia, but you don't expect him to come through for you? Do you know? Come on, let me give you some insight. Do you know the father relinquished his rights, his sovereignty to be your father? Do you know he relinquished his sovereignty? Sovereignty means he could do what he wants to when he wants to. Do you know he relinquished that? He gave it up. Just like you gave up your rights when you had a child. You can't go where you want to go. You can't do what you want to do. They're right there with you. She can't see it with conviction. I know. I can't even go to sleep until he sleep. So we don't put the expectation on God as a father. He said, you being evil parents, give good things. How much more? I'm good. God is love. My father is love. Say that. He is the he don't love. He is. Meaning every decision that he makes in your life is purely out of love. So sonship is unique, and it is unique and most people lack understanding of it because they don't understand how to convert social context into spiritual context. Okay? We don't understand how to convert social context into spiritual context, and we don't understand how to convert spiritual context into social context. You just see me, everything I just explained to you, probably never heard it, but it's so simple. So we have to be able to take the stages of the sonship and take the social context and convert it to a spiritual context, because these are the stages of maturity that we have to walk through. Amen? I'm going to get into this. So a brethos is a spiritual newborn babe. A nepios is an infant, a spiritual babe learning to trust Abba. If you find yourself, say amen. It's a spiritual babe learning to trust Abba and rely on basic principles of his name and his household. A pation is a little child developing a deeper understanding of Abba's character and beginning to experience the kingdom of God. A technon is a teenager. It's a learned stage. It is where we start to grasp our destiny and begin to, watch this, take on responsibility in his kingdom. You know, it takes a while for kids to take on responsibility in the household. It's a while before they start to say, Mama, what you want me to do? Daddy, what you want me to do? You need me to take out this garbage? You need me to clean? That takes maturity. A nanniskos is a young adult, and they live according to the word of God. They have overcome challenges, and they are becoming more like Christ. I like to tell myself, this is where I am. I never tell myself I'm a weos. Okay? I never don't tell yourself that. Okay, I like to tell myself I am living according to his word. I've overcome challenges and I'm becoming more like Christ. Okay, now a weos is a mature son and daughter fully representing their heavenly father, living in the fullness of their inheritance and ushering in the father's kingdom in everything that they do. We're not there yet, right? It's okay. Most of us, we're not there because we've been in religion. Okay. Okay, let me see. So what I want to minister today is, and let you know, is that Jesus, one of his ministries, and well, let me put it to you like this. Jesus came to introduce us to the Father's voice. All right, on this Father's Day, I want to talk to you about his voice and how to hear it. Because Jesus came to introduce us to the Father's voice so we could hear his voice. He did it with his life. He did it with his ministry. And he did it while he was training his disciples. Amen. Now, he was training up the disciples as children to hear the Father's voice. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and they would not depart. Remember, he knew he was leaving. He knew he was departing and he had to leave them there. So before he left, he had to make sure that they thought like mature sons. So there are seven scriptural occurrences that prove that Jesus was leading us to our Father's voice. Y'all ready? The first one is, he said, I only do what my Father says. He says, I only do what my Father says. I only do what I see him do. Okay? And I don't judge until I hear him. So he's letting you know that I don't even have a thought process that does not come from my Father. He's getting ready to leave. He said, one of the disciples said, show us the Father. And he looked like, what? Show you the Father? Have I not been with you so long? He said, if you saw me, you saw the Father. I don't have an action. There's not a thought. There's nothing that you ever seen me do that was not an instruction from heaven. Everything I did, everything I said. If I said be healed, it's because he said to say it. If I raise somebody from the dead, it's because he said to say it. Now watch this. What we're doing in ministry is we're bypassing the Father and just trying to raise people from the dead. He didn't tell you to do that. We're just trying to show up and learn how to cast out devils. No instructions from Abba. We're trying to do ministry without our Father's approval. We're trying to do ministry so we can have a big ministry. He didn't just cast out devils. He only did what his Father said. He woke up in the morning and said, Abba, what do you want me to do today? Ooh, we going to get there. We going to get there. Father, what is it that you want me to do today? Not wake up, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Then you come home and pray. Then you wonder why ain't nothing working? Because he didn't tell you to do that. And even if you do think it's working, it's low level. There's more once you receive the instructions. Okay, the second thing was Jesus said that his teaching was not from him. He said, there's nothing I'm teaching you that is from me. I don't have teachings. He said, everything that I teach, it came from the Father. Which means what? There's one voice. The third thing is that Jesus taught his disciples to pray to the Father and demonstrated it. He didn't just tell them to pray to the Father. He prayed to the Father in front of them. The fact that he only did what the Father said was proof that he was praying to him. He wasn't praying to the Holy Spirit. I was telling my wife, I said, do you know there's nowhere in the Bible where you see the Father having a conversation with the Holy Spirit? Do you know there's nowhere in the Bible where you see Jesus having a conversation with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit talking back to Jesus? We made something up. And then we always said, well, the Spirit told me. What Spirit? When Jesus spoke, he said, the Father told me. When you speak, you say, the Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit put an impression on me. They just say Spirit now. The Spirit of religion. You just said God said something. You associated with scriptures, but the context was totally off. You didn't seek first the kingdom. You ain't seeking his righteousness. Nothing's been added to you. But you hear the Spirit. Okay, the next one is, he told them, he said, when you pray, watch this. He said, when you pray, he said the Father would be there. He didn't say he would. He said, when you pray, he said, when you pray, he said, I need you to understand that the Father knows what you need before you ask. He didn't say, I know what you need before you ask. What is he doing? He's pushing us to the Father's voice. I came to reconcile you and reconnect you to Abba. Then he said, the Father will be in the secret place with you. Then he said, what you do in secret, he said, the Father will reward you. I'm not going to reward you. The Father's going to reward you. The next one is, he said, be a true worshiper by worshiping the Father. Then he said, the Father is seeking such to worship him. He didn't say, I'm seeking people to worship me. He did not say that. The next one is adoption. He said, I would not leave you orphans. I would not leave you orphans. I would not leave you fatherless. Then the last one is, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, John 16 and 12, because we don't teach the Holy Spirit in context with sonship. We teach the Holy Spirit without sonship. So we're hearing things, but they're not related to us being a child. So the Spirit told me, I'm going to be a millionaire. Okay, but the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with your spirit first that you are a child. So in John 16 and 12, it's not up there. Keep looking. So in John 16 and 12, Jesus said, he said, I still have many things to tell you. John 16 and 12. He said, I still have many things to tell you. He said, but you can't bear them now. I'm going to say that again. He said, we need to start bringing paper Bibles again. Okay, we need to start bringing, turn, let me know when you have it. Hey, say amen, okay. We need to go back. Okay. He said, I still have many things to say to you. He said, but you can't bear them now. Now, the reason why you can't bear them because you're not born again. And it's not until you're born again because your nature has to change in order for your soul to be able to absorb truth. You have to become a child in order for your soul to hear the Father. That's why they heard God in the Old Testament. They were not born again. Nobody in the Old Testament was a child of God. They were the children of Israel. Okay? Nobody in the Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit came upon them, but it was not there to permeate their soul. It was not there to conform them to the image of Christ. But in the New Testament, the Spirit would rest on us and we will be baptized in the Spirit, and it will be for the sole purpose that we are children of God and we can hear our Father. So in verse 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, say, that's my Father's voice. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes. So the Spirit of truth, Jesus said, I'm truth. Come on, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So the Spirit of truth is the Father speaking truth. The truth that he speaks is sonship. So his voice reveals the Word, which is his Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, watch this. He said, in the beginning was the Word, which means the Word had a beginning. God didn't have a beginning, but the Word did. That's the difference between it being a supreme deity, which is an entity that has a separate existence, than being a deity that came from the Father. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then that same Word became flesh. So everything the Father wants to say to us is embraced in Jesus. This is why we're joint heirs. Come on, everything he has, we have. So he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. This ain't truth about the things in earth. This is truth about heavenly things. If you can understand heavenly things, you have no problem understanding earthly things. Okay, one is more complex than the other. Amen. He says, watch this, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. So when the Spirit speaks, it's not saying anything but what the Father said. Because somebody wrote me a letter, and in the letter they wrote me what the Father said, what the Son said, and what the Holy Spirit said. I'm like, that's why you got schizophrenia. That's why you're schizophrenic. You hear three voices. Jesus said, everything come out of my mouth, my Father said it. Then he said, when he sent the Holy Spirit, he's only going to say what the Father said. There's one voice. That's what an ambassador is. One single voice. The Father said a thing. The Son repeated it. The Spirit repeated it. The angels repeated it. As children of God, we repeat it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, in all, and through all. He told us to have the same mind. How they got a different one? He told us to speak the same thing. Why they speaking differently? Jesus said, I don't have a voice. I don't have a will. My will is to do my Father's will. I don't have a will. I don't have a plan B. In case I don't like what the Father said, that's what I'm going to do. Am I liberating you? He says, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. Because they didn't know. Verse 14, I love this. He will glorify me. He will talk about the Son. Why? Why will he talk about the Son? Because we're children. Why would he glorify he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He's just going to repeat what I've been telling you. But he's going to declare it to you because you're a joint heir. Because you have the same inheritance. So the Spirit, whatever is his, he's going to let wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. Uh-oh. Spirit of revelation. There's armies of angels that specialize in just revealing these things to us. The Bible says that the angels are ministering spirits, watch this, sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So you mean the angels reveal the inheritance, the Holy Spirit is going to disclose what is Jesus to you. Jesus only say what the Father say. It's one voice. It's not three. Don't come to me talking about, well, this is what the Father said, this is what the Son said, this is what the Holy Spirit said. No, you're finna be in a mental institution. You're gonna go crazy. Satan is playing games in your head. If an angel shows up, it's gonna say what the Father said. If it doesn't say what the Father said, it's a demon. Even demons don't do that. They come in the name of Satan. Stop. Matthew 10 and 19. I like to teach and I like to give proof. So when you leave here, you'll be overwhelmingly convinced. It prevents arguments in your mind. And then it clarifies and gives you checks in the spirit when you sit in religious teaching. And you realize ain't no life there. I'm not growing. Why aren't you growing? Because you can't hear your Father's voice. Jesus said, talking to his disciples, he says, but when they deliver you up, he says, do not worry about how or what you should Follow me. Speak. He says, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should say. What you should, what? Speak. Verse 20. He says, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, nothing can speak in you until it speaks to you. I need you to know that, okay? Nothing can speak in you or through you until it speaks to you. This is a rule of spiritual things. The reason why hatred comes, it's the Spirit speaking through you, expressing himself. Jesus said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I don't need you to avenge me. I don't need you to avenge me. I don't need you to go on TikTok and talk about pastors. I don't need you to expose those who are on assignment for me, their flaws, while you don't have no assignment, while you haven't answered your assignment. I don't need you to do that. How often should we forgive? Seven times in a day? Nope. Now, he only do what the Father tell him. He says 7 times 70 in a day. Malik, can you do that for me? Can you do it? Can you forgive me 490 times in a day? Come on. Mama, 490 times. Be honest. Be where you at. This is what Jesus said. So he don't need you to go on a vendetta for him. He said 490 times a day. You still talking about stuff that happened 2 years ago. You dropped out of school. She said backlogged. He says, for it is not, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's training them. The Spirit of your Father is going to speak through you. When they put you in jail, when they talk about you. That's why people can attack us, and we have a group of people who say, we still love. Come on. Come on. We still love. We still love you. We understand what you're going through. That's the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. When Peter got a revelation, he said, who do men say I am? Some say you John the Baptist. Some say you like Elijah. Some say other prophets. Who do you say I am? I say you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says to him, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He said that revelation, but I didn't tell you that. He said, Peter, you got access, son. You got access. Watch this. He said, you got access. You heard the Father. He said, so I'm going to switch your name. I'm going to change your name to Simon Bar-Jonas, and I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom of God, of heaven. That whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But watch this. It started with a revelation that he heard from the Father. It started by him hearing the Father's voice. So this is where maturation kicks in. Maturation kicks in with our ability to hear the Father's voice. Amen? We hear it at levels. That's why in Ephesians, it's not up there, we did it last week. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. This is the reason why I said that the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are there to equip the saints. You know what saints mean? elected ones, chosen ones, to equip the saints for the work of ministry and to build up the body of Christ, not tear it down, not expose it. He says, until we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full measure of stature which belongs to Christ, so that you will no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. So he said, I don't want you to be a nepio, so I'm going to give you the fivefold ministry, and they're going to walk you through the stages of sonship to develop you. So you won't be a child, and you will be able to stand and walk in the fullness of the maturity that is in Christ. That you will grow up into the head, who is Christ. That's lordship. Amen? That's lordship. But it happens in stages. It doesn't happen in one day. It doesn't happen in 6 months. It takes a lifetime to grow. But you have to be intentional. You have to be deliberate. This has to be the purpose. You have to get up in the morning and pray. You have to read your word. You have to study it. You have to take every challenge like it's coming from your Father. And the more you do these things, you can hear the Father at different levels. And so in ministry, we can teach at different levels. Y'all want proof? Here we go. Thank you for saying yes. 1 Corinthians 3:1. This is Paul talking. Remember, he had the assignment to teach the Gentiles because the Gentiles did not know God. So he has to introduce them to him, right? He says, and I, brethren, that's like saying today, fam. That's like saying fam, family. He said, and I, brethren, which means brothers and sisters. Come on, family language. He ain't talking to Christians. He ain't talking to believers. He ain't talking to churchgoers. He's talking to Abba's children. The Father told me, he said, every message you preach from this pulpit, he said, it needs to be as if the Father is talking to children. That's why you don't hear me telling you you're going to go to hell. That's why you hear me talking more about your spiritual life than your sin. Because he called you as a sinner. He knew you had sin. Who in here don't know they got sin in their life? Come on. Everybody know they have sin. You know you got some issues, some things you got to go through, you got to grow through. Come on. Say amen. Amen. Come on. Everybody know that. We don't need to announce that. Do I need to tell you? Stop doing that. Stop doing that. No, that's not what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you it's hindering your destiny. Immaturity is killing your destiny. Immaturity is killing your power. Immaturity is zapping your anointing. Immaturity is stopping the flow of the spirit. Immaturity is killing your business. Okay? It's the immaturity. It's the fact you won't grow spiritually. I don't have to talk about your sin. You are a child of God. He found you in a sinful state. He adopted you in a sinful state. Which means it's now his responsibility to love it out of you. Which means once he called me, it's my responsibility to love it out of you. That's why the Bible says until we all come into the unity of faith. So the newest person that comes in here is all of our responsibility to make sure that they grow up in maturity. It's all our responsibility to show love and reveal him. But it only happens when we hear his voice. So he said, I ain't even got to. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech. That's 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, I said 3, but that's okay. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you. Watch this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak. I'm trying to talk to you. I came to give you some information. I want to let you know something before I move forward. That no epistle is preaching. No epistle is a sermon. These are letters. These are not sermons. He wasn't preaching to them. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. He said, I wanted to come and minister some things to you on a deep level, but I couldn't. I could not speak to you, which means what? You couldn't hear. You couldn't hear. Verse 2, he said, I fed you with milk and not solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. What is he doing? He's diagnosing, he's assessing their spiritual life. And he said, based on their spiritual life, I can't talk to you about this. The wisdom I wanted to pour out, I can't. I can't pour it out because you can't receive it. He said, because you're carnal. Verse 3 said, he says, for you are still carnal. He says, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So he said, I diagnosed where you were in the stages of sonship. And when I saw envy, when I saw strife, when I saw people creating division, it was an indicator that you were carnal and you were not behaving like a God child or a child of God, but you are behaving like a mere human. That's an expectation. He said, we should look up one day and you should not be acting like a mere human. You should be acting like a God. You should be acting like one that hears your father's voice. In Hebrews, in their spiritual immaturity, he said, Hebrews 5 and 12, he says, do we have that? He says, for though by this time, look at, you ought to be teachers. He said, you should be teaching. We've been doing this for a long time now. You should be teaching. He says, you need someone, he said, instead, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. Don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Love. Forgive. He said, you should be teaching. He said, and you have come to need milk. He said, you still need milk. You still need somebody to pat you on your back. Somebody still got to forgive. Be patient. We got to remind you what the fruit of the Spirit is. We got to give them to you. Love, peace, joy, kindness, long-suffering, patience, gentleness. We got to tell you to do that. And because we got to tell you to do that, you're not qualified to teach. I had people in the church talking about, I should be teaching. No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. You can't forgive. I had a brother came to me, talk about everything that go wrong in the church. He complaining about it. Complaining about everybody. And then said, I should be teaching. No, you shouldn't. You don't even like the people. I would never let nobody teach y'all that don't love y'all. I would never let nobody teach that don't love y'all. If you want to teach, you know what I'm looking for? Do you love them? Do you have a problem giving to them? If they need something, can they come to you? No. Okay. Well, you shouldn't be teaching them. Are you praying for them? No. Okay. Well, you should not be teaching them. Do you honor them? No. Well, you should not. Well, I can't let you teach. Verse 13. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Why are they announcing these things? Because we have to look at growth. We have to look at growth. To be unskilled means you're ignorant to your father's voice and his character. You're inexperienced. It's okay. You're born again. But now you got to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. Now you got to grow from glory to glory. Now you got to lose sin, and you lose sin by growing spiritually. Everything ain't got to be okay. Everything, you ain't got to walk dress right, dress in everything. But we have to see potential that you are trying. And the only person can see that is Abba. I have to let y'all know, I'm not looking. Okay? I'm not looking. I'm not policing your spiritual life until you want this. When you want the mic, I got to police you. I'm not looking at what you're doing right and wrong. That's not my business. My business is to labor with you until Christ is formed. I'm not trying to assess you where you are. The stages of sonship are for you to assess you. It ain't for you to call somebody else a baby, but we can hear when babies talk. We can see when they talk, can't we? Cute little video. But you a baby. I'm messing. Cute little video, wasn't it? But you can see, you a baby. You know Abba don't, come on. Verse 14. I ain't got that many scriptures to go. It says, but solid food, look at this. Read this, y'all. He said, but solid food is for those who are full age. You know what solid food is? Food is revelation. Some revelations you can't share with an infant. You can't correct. You can't teach. You're not ready for solid food. You still want meat. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. It's milk. Jesus is the Son of God. Milk. It's milk. Similac. God gonna bless me. Yeah, he gonna bless you. The Lord is good. Yeah, he is. But what's your responsibility? He said, that is those who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Some stuff children don't know that's not right. They don't know. They do it and say, but they don't know. You got to teach them. No, Malia, you can't say that. You got to teach them. Because they don't know. They have not had their senses exercised. They have not matured to a place where they don't know. You don't say that to somebody. I've been through it. I told a pastor one time, you can't teach. Infant. I told the pastor that. You ain't no teacher. You can't teach in his ministry. Why he giving me a chance to teach? It was a childish move. Extremely childish, but you got to grow up in it. And everybody here can look back and see some stupid stuff you did and say it. Come on. If you can't, you ain't growing. Everybody can look. Oh, did I say that? Oh, did I do that with money? Did I mess that money up again? Come on. We all been there. Stop trying to act like you were Adam. You weren't born Adam. You didn't come out fully and he wasn't even fully mature. That's why he told him to eat from the tree of life. Paul knew it. Paul understood. understood these things. Why? Because Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke. Come on. I spoke. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Well, I'm going to break this fast because I got to go to work. You just talked yourself out of spiritual development. It happens. Don't feel guilty. Just grow up. It happens. We're here to grow. We're not here to be perfect. We're already perfect in his eyes. We're perfect in his eyes when we signed up to grow. Come on. Can I help you? You signed up to grow in a spiritual life. Talking to somebody you can't see. He's proud of you. Clap your hands. He's proud of you. You took that step. What somebody didn't, they stayed in darkness. Started born again. And work your way through. Don't feel guilt. Don't feel shame. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're going to miss the mark. I promise you. This week. I promise you, you're going to miss it. I promise you're not going to get everything right all the time. But tell me what you're consistent at. Paul was keen enough in spiritual matters to observe his own speaking. He said, but when I became a man, I put childish things away. I did that. I recognized in myself. I heard the voice before it came out of my mouth. And it was a time where it came out. And I said it anyway. I heard him say, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. And I said it. Don't go there. Don't go there. And I went. Amen? Come on. Then one day I heard it and I obeyed it. Growth. Then the next time I heard it, I didn't. Then the next time I heard it, I did. Then the next time I heard it, I didn't. This is how it is. This is what growth looks like. Until one day, you're done with that. You hear him nudging at you, stop doing that. Stop doing that. And you try. You try. You try. He see that. Amen. Am I helping you? You see that? Now, this is the good news. It's that he's your father. He loves you. This is the bad news. As long as you keep doing it, he'll forgive you, but he can't give you your inheritance. He'll forgive you, but he can't give you the ministry. He'll forgive you, but he can't open the door until you mature. He'll forgive you. He gave his son so the sin could be forgiven. So he will forgive you. But the thing that belongs to you, he can't give it to you, Chad. So I'm killing my own destiny. Now, come on. Now I got to deal with me. If I want it. How many people in church you see? Well, God showed me I'm a B. 10 years later, God showed me I'm a B. 20 years, God showed me I'm a B. 30 years, God showed me I'm a B. Well, why is it not coming to pass? You're not maturing. Everything the Father gives you requires you to grow in love. So he's going to allow. Remember what I told you, the same Greek word parizo that means tempt means test. So whenever Satan is tempting you, the Father's testing you. He allows it. Why? Because you're a God. He ain't looking at your little human life. I told you, we don't repair humans. If you came here for us to repair your human life, we can't do it. Only thing we can do is build a God in you. That's it. We can't fix that. We can't fix money issues. You're going to have to give. The Son of God said, if you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall other men give into your bosom. I had a little girl come to me one day, and the New Testament don't say we're supposed to pay tithes. Why are you trying to get out of it? Why are you trying to get out of it? Same person sent me the video. Ain't no way in the New Testament say pay tithe. Look, you know, because you don't understand deep things. You don't understand spiritual things. It's in the Old Testament so it could be revealed for the New Testament. If it wasn't supposed to be in there, it wouldn't even be in the Bible, period. It was in the Old Testament so we could do it in the New Testament. If not, then there's no need for it to be in the Bible. Amen? So why are we trying to get out of giving? In your Father's kingdom, for your Father's people. Come on. Why do we want to get out of it? Why do we want to keep ours? And he said, give. And God so loved the world, he gave. And Jesus gave his life. But we want to give out of giving. It's infant. You think Jesus would say that? No, it's growth. That's it. Amen? Come on, it's just growth. Just grow. That's why you don't see me. I don't even look at tithes and offering, do I? No, I don't, because I want to keep my heart pure. I don't know who paying. I don't know how much you're paying. I don't care. That's not my job to focus on that. It's not my job. I don't know who giving and who not. I let her do that. So when I preach the word, nobody can say I'm talking to them. I don't know what you give. I don't know. I have no idea what you give. I have no idea if you pay tithes. And I don't know, because I put it in her hands so that when I preach the word, I'm not talking to you. And you know, like, he was talking to me. No, I wasn't. I'm not talking to you. I don't know what you do. The only time I ask her is if somebody hold the mic. Then I need to know. Now I need to know. But why are we trying to get out? Okay, here we go. So Paul, let us know. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2 and 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom amongst those who are mature. We can't speak wisdom to those who are immature. It sounds like, wrong, 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 wrong. It sounds like we're trying to trick you. It sounds like we're trying to trick you. He said, but we speak wisdom amongst those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. We're not speaking from earth. We're speaking from heaven. And you can't hear heaven yet. He says, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom from God ordained before the ages for our glory. So he said, when we speak, we can only speak to you at the level you are. You can only hear at the level that you function in sonship. Amen? You can only hear at that level. Everything that comes from the scriptures, every time somebody's teaching you, they are teaching you from the level in which you can hear. Here we go. 1 John 2 and 12. Let me go to 2 and 1 first. I'm going to go to 2 and 1. I'm going to read it to you, then we're going to keep going. It says, my little children, 1 John 2 and 1. Read 1 John 2 all the way through, okay? It says, my little children, it says, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Now, this is, he's talking to Patreons. He says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he said, if you sin, that has already been covered. If you got this going on in your life, that has been covered. Why? Because the focus is what? Maturity. It ain't pointing out wrong. That's Satan pointing out what's wrong. Amen? That's Satan. It's always telling you, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. You ain't get this right. You're going to fail again. You did this wrong. God ain't going to bless. That ain't. When sin did abound, grace did abound even more. You got issues. You got a father. Come on, I'm raising children, trust me. The more they do wrong, I don't get to leave them. Is he a better father than me? Yes, he is. I don't get to leave my children because they do something wrong. That's called abandonment. I would never leave you or forsake you. You hear your father's voice? I would never leave you or forsake you. That's how a father, I would never leave you or forsake you. That's how a father sounds. I would never leave you or forsake you. You got to hear that in your spirit. I would never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never, never, I will never, never leave you or forsake you. I'm never going to abandon you. I'm never going to leave you. I will always deal with you. I gave my son for this. This means more to me than it do to you. Okay, now let's go to 1 John 2 and 12. It says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Now, he said, I write to you, little children. So meaning there's a portion of scripture that's written to you based on the stage you're at. Amen? Y'all tracking? Okay, verse 13. Watch this. I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you know the Father. So there's things in scriptures that are written to people who are fathers. Because they understand the things from the beginning. There's things that are written to young men because they have overcome the evil. If you have not overcome the wicked one, it's a certain level you can't hear it. At the Pattion level, as a little child, you know the Father. You know him. But you have not overcome the wicked one yet. Still gets you sometime. Amen? And you're not a father. You don't understand the things from the beginning. That's why you always hear me talk about predestination. Before, that's why you hear me talk about precepts. Before the Father said, let there be light, he wanted you. Most people don't understand that. You don't understand him who is from the beginning. You don't understand his plan. Amen? Verse 14, I have written to you fathers, here we go again, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you young men, come on, you see this? I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. So I got a whole conversation for you that I can't have with a Pattion. This is an Anisco conversation. This is when you are a young adult. There's conversations. There's things that are said over the pulpit. There's things in the spirit realm. And you can't hear them until you become strong and until the word abides in you. That's why Jesus said, if the word abides in you and you abide in the word, you can ask for anything and the Father will give it to you. Because when the word abides in you and you abides in the word, he can trust you. That's why Paul said, some wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction. You destroying your destiny, wrestling with scriptures. Oh, we can do that. Okay, do it. We ain't got to do that. Okay, don't do it. Only heaven can release it. Only heaven can release it. You're not offending the preacher. You're offending your destiny. Don't give. Let's see what your bank account looks like. Let's see what you own. Don't study the word. Let's see how much confusion you walk in. I have written to you, fathers, because you know you have known him who is from the beginning. You understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, that's why I got my revelation from him. I understand the Son of God and what he's trying to do. He came talking about maturity, not deliverance. When do you see Paul talking about deliverance? So why we have so many deliverance conferences and no sonship? You coughing up, throwing up, but you still think on the same level. You wasting your time. Jesus said you are clean because the words I spoke. I taught you. And as I taught you and you received it, you lost darkness, because darkness is to be ignorant of divine truth. And you became light. And when you became light, doors opened for you. I didn't lay my hands on you. I didn't make you throw up. I taught you. The only thing you could throw up is the word. I filled you with the words until you regurgitated it. So there was no other conversation in your mouth but what the Father said. I taught you like that. So only thing you can say is, my Father said. I didn't have to cast nothing out of you. He didn't cast nothing out of none of his disciples. Surely Peter had one. Brother talk all the time. He didn't say, you got the spirit of denial in you. You're going to deny me 3 times. Let me cast that out. No, son, go through the experience. You're going to deny me. And the rooster going to crow 3 times before it happened. As soon as it happened, he said, ooh, he was right. I don't know myself. I don't know me. He knew me. He said, Satan is trying to sift you like wheat. He said, but when you be converted, you're going to strengthen the brothers. It was a conversion. You left sin and came into sonship. You stop hearing the father of lies and you begin to hear the father of truth. The scripture says, if the darkness that you have, you think is light, you are full of darkness. So you need light. I'm going to tell you how I cleanse myself. I will listen to T.D. Jakes for 15 hours a day. Miles Monroe, 15 hours a day. I will get out of church. My wife will tell, I will get out of church on the way home, play the Bible. We will go to sleep to the Bible. I'll be playing video games, listening to a message, listening to the Bible. That's what we do in our house. Just Bible playing, Bible playing, Bible playing, Bible playing. What else I need to know? Bible playing, Bible playing, Bible playing, word playing, the word playing, messages playing, messages playing, messages playing, messages playing. What I'm doing, I'm getting everything out that's not supposed to be there. And I'm getting the right content in there so I can mature. So when he write to me, when he speak to me, it's at a level of a father, which means I can put people under you and you can teach them. They can follow you and you are light. He said, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I got 3 more scriptures. And I'm going to let y'all go because I know it's hot. But I'm doing all the work. I ain't even touched the water yet. Verse 15. Here we go. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love the world and love the Father. You can't indulge in the world and still have the Father. Verse 16. I'm going to keep it going. Y'all got that, right? For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of Abba abides forever. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. What is the Antichrist? Those who don't understand why Christ came. He ain't the anti-Jesus. He didn't say the anti-Jesus coming. He said anti-Christ. They don't understand the mission. We're trying to get you to heaven and hell. That wasn't Jesus' plan. Jesus wasn't trying to get you to heaven. If God's plan was to get you to heaven, say, you know, as soon as you're born again, he'll just take you. Just take you. If that's the plan. Bro, if that's the plan, he'll just take you. He's not playing with your life. Religion is antichrist. Because it doesn't bring you to the Father's house. It puts fear in you. It makes you scared of God. Nothing personable about it. So every stage of sonship reflects maturity in which one hears the Father in love. First, then in responsibility. Some stages, people never hear the Father say they love him. You know how many Christians? Ask Christians. Have you ever heard the Father tell you love you? They never heard that, but they heard you wrong. They heard you sinning. How God is love, but you ain't never heard him say that. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, I loved you. I love you. Love one another. Jesus heard it. Why don't you hear it? I'm done. Hallelujah. I have more, but I think y'all got it.